Why, hello, everybody. It's been a long time. You're listening to Afternoon Tea at the Aquarium here on houseofsound.org with Robin Police and a very special guest that you probably haven't seen in a long time. Someday you might see him. I don't know. I kind of sense his corporeal presence. I could just keep talking and filling in for him as he's perusing things and doing other stuff, but I'm really terrible at this part. But that's okay, because back from New York City. Oh, that's right, I forgot. I was just going to keep talking, but then I forgot there's actually like a set list here. So I started out with some random track by The Fuse, which for some reason I don't have titles for any of these things. Then Tilly and the Wall, Chandelier Lake, Yob Kiss, Dents. That remix is by DJ Donna Summer. Janelle Monae's Faster, The New Bloods, Doubles. Too bad The New Bloods don't exist anymore. The Deers with White's Only Party. I just broadcast a 3 Jane song, Normal, off of their new demo. I know, it's pretty crazy. They're pretty normal. Then I did Muse Special, 800 Cherries, Painty Paint Pots, and followed it out with Weezer, The Good Life. We might even have our special guest coming around.
This is Radio Havana, Cuba.
This is Radio Pyongyang of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea.
This is Moscow.
Electronicanista? I just made that up.
Ooh, Electronicanista. That's kind of a lot of syllables.
It's afternoon tea at the aquarium.
I mean, I didn't get into this to, like, eat fake meat. Last night, trying to eject a French film out of my VCR.
That sounds terrible.
With Dr. Normal.
Can you fix this?
Robin Police.
There's people in there, and they're dancing, and then the colors change, and then it's great, and then your screensaver kicks in.
Hey!
I'm Robin Police. Have you tried, like, a dial of cheese?
It's very morning zoo.
On House of Sound.
Oh, God. All right. Hey, it's the podcast portion of our show.
Wow, I even forgot we had a podcast portion of the show.
You've been doing a real show for the last 2 weeks.
Is that what they call it? They call it a real show?
They call it a real show on House of Sound, where actually people play music and don't talk.
What? I totally talked through that, but then I would get nervous and then not talk.
I got nervous. Oh, by the way, hi, I'm Doc Normal.
Yes, this is our fantastic special guest, you know, the guy who I usually do the show with.
And you are?
Oh, I'm Robin Police.
Okay, now that we got that out of the way. So we do have fun things in store, even though we don't have anything really planned. But, you know, those are always the best things that happen. But
oh, and we might even talk about OK Cupid.
Yes, later in the...
In the broadcast.
During the online dating OK Cupid segment, we'll talk OK Cupid. Wait for it. Yes, stay tuned in. So now I've totally lost my train of thought. So yeah, so I actually we were texting yesterday, and I said, "Do you still even want to do the show now that you're doing a real show?"
Well, I like doing this part of the show because then I have less of the nervousness before the show. And also the booze in this particular show is much better, I think, than in my show, which has no booze.
Ah, okay. Well, you could have brought your own.
Well, I was offered by our fantastical, wonderful new DJ, who is actually our old DJ before us. And that was good. But, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I just met and, we have a new show that, comes before our show, and I can't remember what the name of it is, but
Crosstown Boogie, I think.
Okay.
I was going to say Crosstown Traffic and then just start Crosstown
exactly.
Traffic.
I love that song.
It's a good one.
I love Hendrix. So 2 to 4 is a show like a show used to be here. So, and then 4 to 6, and then 6 to 8. And
with DJ Howe at 7.
That's right. And the Ghost Train. So we have some exciting things in store with that show, because the person who is doing that show is one of the originals of House of Sound.
Next week, we might even interview him. And yeah, it might not suck, too.
That's right. So, let's see. Where are we at here? We're going to queue up some more music, too, because this is just our little intro, right? Right.
I would say that was a pretty big intro. Okay. And then I already got critiqued that we're supposed to, like, say who we are at the beginning of the show instead of 30 minutes in. But...
Oh. Wait.
That's because one of my friends was here, and she sat on the couch and just kind of...
Oh, this was during when you were doing your show.
Yes, when I was doing my show.
I know. I was waiting for you to... Who are you? So, okay, what we have planned today, because it's very House of Soundy, because we have one of the original House of Sound DJs back on House of Sound, we're also doing another House of Sound tradition. Oh, I should have a stinger for this, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
Oh, hang on.
Do you have a stinger for this?
No, you know what?
I need a real soundboard.
I couldn't even find my crap.
I can find it. It's in the toilet.
Here. You know what?
I'm going to make us a soundboard, maybe.
That would be great. Look. There's our stinger. A phone call. I don't Actually, a little... Actually, what I'm doing right now, seriously, I am dialing the phone. I'm trying to call North Korea.
Ooh.
This is the hotline.
Your BFF?
Yeah. They're not picking up.
Well, of course they're not going to pick up. They don't have a telephone.
No. This is the hotline to North Korea.
No, I'm saying that the other end doesn't go anywhere.
No, what happened is there's a hotline between North and South Korea, and they call each other at 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. each day. And I imagine the call will go something like this. Hello? Hello? Oh, hi. Is this who I think it is? Yes. It's us. The South. Oh. Who's this? Oh, this is the North. Okay.
This is like a bad knock-knock joke. Knock-knock.
Except there's no punchline. Who's there?
North Korea.
North Korea who?
Exactly.
Exactly. Kim Jong-un. Anyway, and yeah, so they call like 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., I think I read, each and every day. And right now, unfortunately, when they're calling, they're actually, let's dial this again, they're getting that.
Wow, so, I think somebody stopped having a crush on somebody else. Which...
Exactly. Oh, they need OK Cupid for Nations.
Oh man, OK Nation.
That they're in each other. They'd show up on their activity stream. They'd be like, "Oh look, North Korea is nearby." Oh shit, was that a missile? That's a missile.
A missile of love.
Oh, we haven't even started with political jokes, and I haven't even got into our special. See, that's the singer. Oh, do you have one? Oh, no.
I felt like that was a good.
Yes, it is. It is a good to cut away. As you can tell, we planned this here. Okay, so in the tradition, great grand tradition of houseofsound.org.
Dang it, I'm not good at queuing up, but I finally found a song that I was going to play. Drink it, Tim.
The clink that you hear is Doc Normal and Robin Police's survey tasting of tiny wines. Tiny wines.
Tiny wine tasting.
Now, I did not originate this tradition. I believe it was originally originated over a year ago on the fine program Apple Soup with Heather Ray. And it just continues to be a grand tradition. When we had our party, we had tiny wines. Tiny wines, as you know, can be purchased in any little tiny supermarket, like a 7-Eleven or a Plaid Pantry or the neighborhood supermarket that I don't remember the name of down the street here, which is the House of Sound proxy super mini mart. So, and today on the show, we will be tasting A fine sir. As I put the wines in front of the board for you. Oh, that's so nice.
I thought we'd have tiny music to go with the tiny wines.
Oh, we could zap a city of tiny lights. I've got that somewhere. Okay, so would you like to read off the wonderful selections that we have?
Today we have Gallo Family Moscato from Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
Followed by Barefoot Pinot Grigio American.
Oh, that sounds very fine. Are there any vintage years on this? Oh, no, not on Tiny Wines.
Of course not. The next one up is Gallo Family Chardonnay from California.
Mm-hmm. From that famous...
Uber Ellis.
Oh, and I think the real sexy one here is...
The Barefoot White Zinfandel from California.
Oh, yeah. White Zinfandel, aptly named because it's pink. It was the step up from the Annie Boone's farm your mom used to drink in the 70s while chain smoking after a hard day with the Rugrats. That's kind of how White Zinfandel was invented, I believe.
Aww.
So we probably want to start light.
We could play spin the bottle, but with the bottles.
Nah, we'll go. And these are all kind of the white.
No,
cold.
I meant that you we put the bottles on the ground, then we spin a fourth bottle, and it picks the bottles for us.
No, I'm like, wait a minute, she's doing a spin the bottle joke.
Oh, that's right. I make jokes sometimes.
I didn't wear clean underwear today. It's not wash day. Great.
Ew.
Yeah, exactly.
It's crunchy.
Next week, we do the show naked. Woohoo! Okay.
Brought to you by Sweaty Balls.
I think we'll start with... let's start with the Barefoot Pinot Gris. I like how it says... Oh, Barefoot Pinot Grigio.
That would be the Italian version.
Right, but it says American.
America! We should have. I gotta be better with cueing the music, but just think about what the music would be.
Well, we'll get better at this, I promise.
I feel like we should pour it in front of the microphone too, just like
I'll
we do at our cooking show.
Yes. Cheers. So first we
we swirl it around.
I used to actually do actual wine tasting. So
with actual wine.
With actual wine experts. So
no, with actual wine.
So we have our red plastic cups, and we swirl this fine wine around, and we put our nose
in it. Smells like something.
What's it? What kind of flavors are you getting on the nose there? the aromas. I'm getting a little
tussin,
peach.
Tussin, dirt, peach.
Dirt?
Tussin.
Tussin. Oh, we could play MC Chris.
Yeah, like Robitussin.
Yeah, very sweet, kind of a sweet peach in character. And I was trying to do that without spitting it out on you.
I was just trying to drink it.
Yeah, so that's here's the thing. The things you need to know when you go to a fine wine tasting, and people are like, oh, you don't know nothing about wine. First, stick your nose in the glass. Like you said, swirl it around. Look at it. You can't look at it. It's in a plastic damn cup. But you're supposed to look at it and
we
check out
clear ones.
And check out the legs. That's what you're looking for, the legs.
Oh.
Do you know what the legs are?
Is that the light that streams into the wine?
Actually, it's the would be called the viscosity of the wine. The more alcohol, the more it kind of, it's hard to explain, kind of clings to the glass and kind of makes legs as you swirl it. So you can tell the alcohol content of a wine by looking at the legs. So if it's not clingy, if you don't have streams that are going down the glass, it's less alcohol. If there's more streams, there's more alcohol. The more you know and learn here on PBS, here on OPB. But anyway, we got plastic glasses. We can just check the alcohol content on the side of the glass. So then you swirl around, you stick your nose in it as far as you can go. Right? That means you're serious. And then you take a sip. All right, ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
All right, take a sip. I took too much. Don't go. Okay.
Carefully without.
And in a microphone, no less. I didn't even do it. Never mind.
You might as well just try to brush your teeth on air.
Yeah, you basically gurgle it like mouthwash. Yeah, you can't even do it. I did it better the first time. So
I can't do it and maintain a straight face.
And the reason you do that is you're actually aerating the wine on the tongue.
So it's you're super aerating it.
Yes, to reveal its flavor.
Which tastes like citrus tablets.
It's pretty disgusting. And then...
Actually, you know what? It tastes like Theraflu.
Ooh.
Which I kind of like.
A weak Theraflu. So,
mine usually has tequila in it.
And there goes the Barefoot Wine sponsorship. Your stuff tastes like white Zinfandel Theraflu. So... After you do that, then you, if you're really serious, this is the thing. This is, I'm trying to get you, like, when you're in black tie and everything.
I'm ready. I'm doing my ready stance.
You're either wearing a black tie or a gown, whatever.
Ew.
I don't know. And you're at that serious wine tasting. The next thing you do is you spit it out. Not at the person. You spit, and preferably not back in the glass. Usually there's a spit bucket.
Oh, yeah, the spittoon.
Yeah. Which is just, I mean, it's so gross, right? I used to go to wine tastings and we'd be like, okay, that's great. We're serious. But we're drinking this, baby. This is $150 a bottle, you know. But serious, like Somali, serious wine tasters, they'll spend all day.
Sommelier, whatever.
They will spend all day wine tasting, like at an event, like all morning and all night. So they often they have to spit it out because they're getting a contact high just by having that stuff touch their tongue.
Wouldn't that be a contact drunk?
Buzz high, but well, did you get? Yeah, I guess you're right. Anyway,
contact drinking. It's when it's like dodgeball but with alcohol.
If you would, where's the damn number?
I don't know, but if you'd like, I can play some more music.
Yeah, I was going to say we need to make a bigger phone number. We have a phone number here at House of Sound.
But we can't read it because half of us are not able to see and the other half wear glasses.
Our phone number here is 503-575-9344. That's 503-575-9344. Call today and get a free mattress. If you want to call in and give us your recommendations on Pabst beer tasting or tiny wine tasting, feel free, or anything else. Or
if you'd like to troll us.
Or 503-575-9344. I think you do 011 before that. Kim Jong-un, call us. We want to talk to you, really. We know you're angry and upset, and I know you unfriended us, but, you know, it's okay. I mean, I know on OkCupid, I didn't respond to your last message, and then you saw me up there in the activity logs, but just call us, Kim Jong-un.
Kim Jong-un Jang.
503-575-9344. Anyway, we'll take a call. And we're going to listen to some music and try to get this show under control. Or not.
Take time now to make a family emergency plan, and then make sure every member of your family knows it.
That's right. Family emergency plan. Very, 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 very important. We're back with wine number two.
The wine number two, although we should have matching cheese or maybe cashew cheese in your case.
Yeah, I don't
think... Actually, there are some good... Oh, actually, I really like cashew cheesecake.
Oh, really?
Oh, there's a really good one at Ford's Food and something or another on the 11th and Division. That the Ford building, they have a little coffee shop, and they have delicious, delicious cheesecake that's not cheese.
I just, I did, to this day, I love the fact that you are a former vegan. You were like one of the people that I knew that was a vegan way back when.
This
when
is
vegan
true.
Wasn't sexy.
And I was a vegetarian before that, but yeah. Sadly, due to...
We talked about this.
Yeah.
Diets. And,
I have to figure out how my body can do these things.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's not, one size does not fit all, which we will talk about in a minute.
Exactly.
But first, we have wine number two.
Wine number two is the Barefoot White Zinfandel from California.
California. Woohoo. Gold Rush.
California.
Well, let me get the...
Are you missing
the corkscrew? Uncork it.
Oh, right.
It's a screw top.
Don't we call that a twist top?
No, screw top. Actually, it's is it a staven? You know what? I'll look that up. There is actually a nice word for it because, Robin Police, there are many actually fine wines that now have screw tops on them.
Oh, right, because a cork is actually endangered.
Cork is endangered, and cork in the 21st century, although this is controversial, and I am one of those people who believes this, it is fun. It is is very fun to uncork a bottle of wine. That's a great tradition, but cork is not the most efficient enclosure because wine, there is always a chance that there are microbes on the cork, and that's what spoils a bottle of wine. And in many cases, that's what a bottle of corked wine means. It means that the cork either failed, it dried up, and let something bad in, or there were microbes on the cork. And if you look at statistics of corked wine, there often is a failure rate. Mean time between failure.
I have noticed I've had problems with wine trying to uncork it where the cork is either dry and brittle and
you
falls.
Don't want that.
Yeah. But I mean, I usually drink it anyway, especially in the days when I was a poor college student and I'd have to attack it with a butter knife.
And the reason that happens is that's why when you store wine, you don't ever want to store it, sitting on you lay it down. That's a laying down the wine. Like in a wine cellar, why the wine is in a rack? Because the wine needs to keep the cork moist, touching the cork. So,
but then that leads me to believe that cork is not that good at...
It's, it was good like 300-400 some odd years ago.
What do you think about the waxy? They're not. It's not cork, but you have to uncork it. It's like a wax or a plastic or something that you.
Right, and those would not have the failure rate of natural cork.
Right.
I mean, it.
But what are those made out of?
Plastic,
really?
Nylon, something like that.
Huh. Yeah.
And the other thing that was very popular, you were talking about the fact that cork is endangered, and this happened like 10, 15 years ago, almost 20 years ago, they were talking about, because I think it all comes from, is it Portugal or Spain?
Yeah, it comes
or somewhere?
Somewhere in the Iberian Peninsula.
Yeah, yeah. But one thing they were doing is recycled cork. So you see also corks that it's just like, it's just a glued together bunch of recycled corks.
Yeah, I've heard that as well. I wonder what the efficacy rate is though. I don't know. Maybe we should just migrate away from cork.
Yeah, well, and a lot of the times, think about this. For example, white wine, which we're drinking now, if you want to call it white wine. It is white wine. One thing, other than like a Sauternes that is meant to be kept for decades, most white wines have a shelf life of only a few years anyway,
Yeah, they seem like the ones that you want to, that you actually...
Yeah.
Drink and use as table wine.
Yeah, even fine Chardonnays and that you it's the red wines that have tannins in them that are meant to be kept for many, many years. So the shelf life of a white wine, like I said, unless it's like a dessert wine, like a Sauternes, high alcohol, high sugar, like a Sauternes or some of the Vinsantos and those types of wines, if it's if it's just the normal, like, Chardonnays and things like that, you drink them within a few years.
Oh, right. I see.
You don't age them. So there's... Why have a cork on those? And a lot of those don't have corks now.
Yeah, I've noticed that, especially with one of my favorite wineries.
And speaking of fine wines,
ooh.
I think we already talked about this. White Zinfandel?
The
California.
The your mother's drink?
That, yeah, I kind of looked at... I kind of hate this stuff. Actually, maybe I'll love it now.
No, you'll still hate it, but it's all right.
I remember the White Zinfandel, which is this pink rosé kind of Swedish wine. Sweet, not Swedish. Sweet.
No, it's a Swedish wine, you can tell. It's got
a very Swedish White Zinfandel. Oh, God, crap jokes. I remember this. Back in the 70s, people would drink... Ernest and Julio Gallo, which were drinking their kids' wines. Now it's just Gallo.
They must have broken up.
And then there was Annie Boone's Farm strawberry wine. And,
oh, you know, Boone's Farm was actually the one mentioned in my sommelier class.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah. My professor was like, oh, before I got into real wine, I used to drink Boone's Farm all the time.
Are you – so we talked about this before. I totally forgot you took that class. And yeah. I'm sitting here jawboning about wine. Are you just like letting me – it's like, oh, I'll let this guy fall on his sword or
– No.
You'll just jump in if I'm wrong.
Well, you sound about right, but my housemate from college unfortunately took my amazing textbook. It's the Grossman's Guide to Fine Wines and Spirits.
If you ever need to borrow a book, let me know.
Right, but she took it and I think it's gone forever. But she's coming into town, by the way, which is okay. But yeah, I unfortunately could not, I don't actually have a certification in wine because I came to Oregon.
Which, they have a certification program.
Right, Oregon. But I was in the middle of school and our school had a special course. And if I completed the course, I would have had the certification. But I came to Oregon to visit my dad. And I couldn't actually finish the test, and he wouldn't let me do a makeup.
Yeah.
So I lost my ability to have a certification.
Yep. I actually know someone about a year or so ago got, like, the next step up certification. And that's what she does. She sells wine. Okay, so
I...
I smell strawberries.
It tastes like Jolly Rancher. I'm going to give it away.
Yeah. Okay, so...
There's no aerating this one.
Oh, God. Oh, God. It does taste like Jolly Rancher. Oh.
It's like Jolly Rancher, but in liquid form.
Oh, it's, but not as tart. It's more like a,
No, it's tart from, it's like tart from the behind.
Ugh.
It's like if
tart
somebody,
from the behind.
It's like if somebody, like, came up to you and snuck a little Jolly Rancher up your butt.
Oh. Today's episode brought to you by...
Feminism.
Yes. And feminist shop tart from behind.
Shop tart from behind.
Tart from behind. Oh, wow.
That's going to be my next album.
I like that. Speaking of tarts from behind.
Actually, I think you mean tarts in the front.
Yeah,
This Week in Feminism brought to you by the Ford Focus.
Yeah, this... This Week in Feminism, brought to you by Afternoon Tea. This little clip from TMZ.
Kate Upton, she unveiled her swimsuit edition covers.
Thank you, Mr. Spicoli. Literally, this guy looks like he's from Fast Times at Richmond.
Did you see it?
Richmond High. Yeah.
I saw she's on the top of Letterman Theater and... She showed everybody, and I'm interested in your opinion about the cover.
Oh my God, he looks
I'm not
like
a big
Spicoli.
Fan. I don't like the whole icy cold.
No, and then they go on to say she's fat.
You should finish the clip.
Well, I gotta fast forward.
Oh yeah, that's right. There's you can press the fast forward.
Because we're on a cruise ship where they're just like eating and drinking their face off.
Right. Plus she was in a cold climate, so she got to get a little coat, a little winter coat. Sure, dude.
And then they laugh about it. Now, I saw this cover, and I thought she was rather beautiful. I mean, this is the whole okay, this is the whole identify, a woman needs to be 98 pounds or whatever the hell it is. I don't know what it is. Who is she? Like Upton? Kate Upton? Is that her?
I have no idea. Let me Google it. For some reason,
what do you think about that?
When I see this clip,
you saw the picture.
I did, and I was like, oh, it's a generic model. She's generic-looking Genera model. But then they have to take the piss out of her, apparently, in order to make any kind of rating at TMZ. Because, by God, we can't have our Genera model that we're all supposed to masturbate to actually... we can't just leave her alone. We got to pick her apart.
They did two covers, and Kate Upton...
She looks like a female.
She looks.
She is obviously a female.
Okay. See,
she's very. Fat. Oh,
that's what they're saying. I mean, I'm not saying that.
Oh,
that's
she looks like. You know, I'm also surprised that this is not Photoshopped, but I'm sure it's Photoshopped.
Yeah, I mean, it's like.
Maybe they didn't. Actually, it doesn't look like they did that much Photoshopping, which is probably why people are so upset.
There's two different covers, and I should have just bought the issue and brought it in. Yeah, hey, look at this one.
Well, we could have actually, I can tell by the way the pixels are whether it's Photoshopped or not.
I mean, so you can't see her ribs. Is that a requirement?
I think out of the heroin chic Genera model, yes, it is a requirement.
That's BS.
Right, that is BS, but I think the further point is that we have these ridiculous categories that, here is this woman that you're supposed to find sexually attractive. Now let's pick her apart for our own amusement.
Well, it's that whole body image thing that, the anorexia and all that craziness.
No,
and it's
I think it's a little bit more than that. It's just, why is... it's kind of like listening to Catty Women, except that it's Spicoli.
Well, that is TMZ.
Right, but it's
that is TMZ TV.
Oh, well, I don't know.
Which the other clip that they had that I could find, because I had a hard time. I could only get this clip on my iPhone, and I was really kind of appalled because I was like, wow, look at that swimsuit cover. Doc normal, and then it was like this guy's like, oh, they're fat, and I'm just like, oh my god, please, really? I mean, for example, here's what we need. Here's exactly what we need. If this is where we're at with body image in 2013, which seems to be we haven't gotten anywhere, we have not progressed anywhere. If that's what we get in 2013, here's what we need. We need magazines where women judge men on their penis sizes.
Oh, that's nobody.
I mean, that would be fun. It's like, oh, he's coming up a little short there. I mean, it's like, how would guys feel like that,
I think it's...
They wouldn't feel good.
The problem is that they already don't feel good. Like, I feel like we're actually sort of in the 80s part two, where...
next part of feminism, penis size.
Right. So as if all the gains that feminism, quote unquote, made, totally got unraveled, but they got unraveled in the 80s. And it's like now they're getting unraveled again, which is really annoying because then why is it that we, it's really nice that people look pretty. Like that's great.
But what is pretty? I mean, the definition of pretty is like, in Portland, pretty is a lot of different things,
Right. But that's
suicide
the point.
Girls made different things. Pretty actually, I think partly why I'm upset is I've actually seen Suicide Girls has an Instagram account,
okay
full disclosure, and I've actually seen them post a model there before, and then the 150 comments are like, she's fat, she's, oh look at that, she's too fat.
That means that
it's like the haters, it's crazy,
right? Well everybody's hating because of they either don't like themselves, or that they have not accepted the idea that people can actually look at something. Oh, this is terrible.
The white Zinfandel.
I'm going to drink it, but not out of
So and actually the lead into the feminism thing was really about Sheryl Sandberg.
Yes.
And
she is a woman.
She's a woman, and she is the COO, Chief Operating Officer of Facebook. Maybe you've heard of it. She's very successful.
The face poops.
I think she was at. Was she at Google before that? You know,
she's been around.
Right, and she wrote a book that was even on some of the news programs. I believe it's called Lean In. Is that the name of the book? Who knows?
Yeah, I think that is actually it.
Where she basically she's saying that women should not be as concerned with starting families, not be as concerned with, you know, maybe the, I'm paraphrasing here, the biological clock and all of that, and lean in their careers, go for their careers.
Wow, that's really 70s.
Yeah. So we have fat chicks on Sports Illustrated covers, and we've got 1970s Betty Friedan influenced.
So I
feminism.
Think, I think know. The reason that she says
we haven't come anywhere.
We haven't come anywhere.
We're gone anywhere
because it's not
or
like
going anywhere.
Like I'm sure Miss Sandberg cannot rely on her husband to actually be like the man of the house and just like take care of the kids and do the laundry, and clean up. Like,
well, in some of the discussions that I saw over the weekend, that's exactly what they talked about. In fact, they mentioned Sarah Palin of all people, and. Her husband supporting her campaign, and I thought some of the more thoughtful talk. I mean, you know, remember Margaret Thatcher?
I'd like to not remember Margaret Thatcher,
but she was a successful politician.
Successful in what way? Like successful in she climbed the ranks and then
Queen
screwed
Elizabeth.
Over. Yeah, she's. I'm just saying Thatcher screwed everyone over.
By
so
the way,
why is that good? That
I
she
want
was
that
successful?
Job as a guy.
As a what?
Prince, whoever. I want
Prince Charles?
No, Prince Charles is her son.
But you want to be Queen Elizabeth.
I want to be her husband.
Because
it would just be like show up to parties and, hey, well then, I'll have the White Zinfandel, please. Yes, very well. Oh, who are you? I'm the husband of the Queen. Oh, yes. I'm very tired now. I mean, what? He doesn't have to do anything.
I'm the Queen's cabana boy.
He doesn't have to do anything. He spent his life just, oh, yes, very well. I really enjoy the White Zinfandel, please. Can I have that on the rocks?
Hey, Queen E, she got to get somewhere, something.
Well, my wife has a ship named after her. Really? We're all very proud.
Sometimes we play in the tub.
I need a nap.
Ew.
Anyway.
I don't suddenly... I don't like where this went.
Anyway. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like we you know, we take a few steps forward and then a million steps back, and it's the same old arguments. But what they talked about was couples working together, and you know, it oftentimes I think about the Clintons.
Oh, really? I think about how it's really terrible that we're all expected to live in like these stupid nuclear families, even today, even though we've already. I'm pretty sure we figured out that the nuclear family was a dumb idea. Can we just like not do it anymore? But then you have to deal with your parents, which is pretty terrible.
Yeah. I don't know. I
diaper changing. That's all I'm going to say. I think about diapers.
Nuclear family. Very well, then. I think I'm going to take a nap now. I have no opinion whatsoever.
You got to change the old people diapers. Know. You got to change the little baby diapers.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of diapers.
Well, no. I mean, I think most modern couples share that ish, but other modern couples do other things too. There are stay-at-home moms. There are stay-at-home dads. There are couples that you know that actually the woman is the principal breadwinner, and of course, there's only one thing a woman. I mean,
oh wait, that was my last relationship.
Yeah, so you know.
Well, I want me some bread.
I said, do you want to talk about this? And you said yes. And then it was like, where are we going to go with this? It's like, I don't know. Let's just see. It's like, I feel like right now we're at the, oh, yes, women in the 21st century. Really, I need a nap now. Really, I don't know. Yes. Well, I like Sports Illustrated. I like that Kate Upton. Yes, she's very fine. Very good looking.
Fuck that shit! Ah, fuck the police!
Should we open another one, or should we listen to some music and then
oh, wait,
come back?
But that means I have to cue. Oh, wait.
I'll tell you what. While you're doing that, I think now is the time we need to open the Chardonnay, really. Before I take my nap, this fine Chardonnay is from
the Gallo family from California.
And
California.
And I'm just disappointed that there's no vintage.
Vintage!
Which is hilarious. Because
which is hilarious. Oh my God.
You're making fun of me.
That's my only. I don't have the Boston or the Cambridge accent anymore.
Don't be such a cheeky monkey, really. By the way, I saw. Guess who got
who
a late birthday present?
Who
from a very close friend?
Who
me?
Aww.
And you know what it was?
What was it?
Eddie Izzard live in New York. Eddie Izzard.
Ooh, how was that?
It was awesome. So he's doing a couple weeks. I think actually
is he wearing dude clothes now? I'm not liking it.
Yeah, but his nails were painted all different colors.
Oh, that's pretty.
Yeah.
Did you get a shot of him? Can you see?
I took a picture of the poster outside the theater. He's doing a small theater, about a 200 seater ish, like they have there in New York City. Mm-hmm. In them theaters. And what he's doing is he's working his he's doing this massive world tour. I mean, he's like going to Africa.
I still think he should have worn a pencil skirt with that top.
No, he's kind of wearing a velvet suit and stuff.
I know, but like, what about a velvet pencil skirt? He looked good because he rocks.
Nails were painted.
I know, but those legs.
I'm sure he was wearing some makeup.
No, but those legs.
I was a little bit in the back.
It's hot.
Okay, well, you know, maybe he'll be on the 2014 Sports Illustrated swimsuit cover, and then everyone can go, he's a little bit chunky, isn't he? And I don't think the penis is big enough. I apologize, Mr. Izzard. I love your comedy. That was just comedy. I'm not making any.
Oh my God. So there's a piece.
Maybe TMZ knows that. Maybe you're quite well endowed.
So there's a great artist at PNCA who does a piece that I see every time I go to class. And I love this piece. It's all these really kind of like airbrushy indie gay boys, and they're all naked. And it's great. And so I think Mr. Izzard would really benefit from that kind of treatment. They're like, it's like beautiful men, like they're surrounded by ferns and they're naked. It's a very pretty.
I actually have an OK Cupid reference here. Where's the stinger? Dun, dun, dun.
Oh my God. No, we can't talk about OK Cupid. The first rule of OK Cupid is
not talk about OK Cupid. Good point.
Did I just break us? I can cut to music.
No, that's good. That's good. That's good. There's an amazing localish artist who draws sci-fi.
Wow, this is disgusting.
And is it really? The Gallo? Is it still mixed with your Zinfandel?
I don't know, but it tastes like butt.
Zinfandel.
Taste it.
Zinfandel is different from white Zinfandel. Zinfandel is actually a red wine. Very non-tannic, very high alcohol, at least in the California version. Mm-hmm. And I believe it's called Primitivo? Is it Primitivo in Italian?
Primitivo.
So it's an Italian one.
It's very primitive. It probably has a different meaning in Italian.
Mm.
Yeah, it tastes like butt, dude.
You know what it is?
What?
Full of oak. Full of oak. It's over. Don't oak the Chardonnay.
Don't oak the Chardonnay or you're gonna die.
Oh, man.
This just makes me think of Professor Oak, and I feel like I should play Pokemon music now.
Do it.
But I don't have any.
Cue it.
Oh,
cue
wait.
It.
Hold on. I think I do.
Isn't this the time that we stall to cue because we're, like, dying here? People are, like, listening to us going, God, it was such a good show when it was 2 hours of music. And then that guy gets back, and then he's off his game, and he's talking about Eddie Izzard.
CD drama, Pocket Monster. Nice.
I love this stuff.
You're welcome.
And what they were saying there is, this Chardonnay is over-oaked.
Exactly.
So where were we? Eddie Izzard, he did a couple weeks in this small theater.
And how was the show?
And he's working up a big, big, big world tour where he's going to all kinds of crazy places. I think he's going to India and Africa. He was like telling like all these, France and of course Europe, but all these exotic places.
Oh, hence the suit.
Yeah. So it was great. It was, Eddie, one of my favorite memorable bits in my head was he has some conversation about the sport of dressage. Dressage. So I think I'm going to take a nap. But he did a funny bit about how it's a very unnatural sport because you make a horse do very unnatural things that a horse would normally do. So it was cute. There's a lot of funny stuff.
Is he going to come to Seattle?
I don't know. You'll probably have to look at EddieIzzard.com or follow his tweet stream or whatever.
Okay.
But he's a funny guy.
I don't think he would come to Portland.
He's come to Portland in the past.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. I missed him.
I always think of this as like a podunk town for some reason.
No, in the last, I want to say three-ish years, like 2010-ish or something like
that. You know who I want to see together? I want to see Margaret Cho and Eddie Izzard on stage at the same time.
That
would be fantastic. I would just
die. She was touring with some other comedian. I can't remember who it was.
Yeah, he was, she was touring with somebody.
No, watch, we Google it, and it's like, oh, look, Margaret Cho and Eddie Izzard have done a tour together.
I just think that they would have, I don't know, it'd be cool.
And Louis C.K. was the waiter.
Oh, my God. That would just, I would also pee my pants.
Yeah. In other news, personal news, I watched House of Cards.
And how was that?
Good. It's Kevin Spacey.
Oh, is that? What is that?
Okay, so
what is this stuff that you keep talking? Like, there's things and they happen. I just found out about a site called YouTube.
Oh God, no, House of Cards. So everyone's talking about this. There's so much in the last 2 weeks that has happened, and for example, oh look, nuclear missile, woo, just passed by.
Woo.
Anyway. Just kidding.
I got all scared for a second.
We will. Look, I will say this. We at House of Sound will be your emergency broadcast in case of a missile crisis with North Korea.
Don't worry. I'll figure out how to set the AM radios.
All right. So in the media, this is like we're talking to media. We did feminism. So House of Cards is based on an old British television show that ran on OPB, which is also on Netflix. Which I watched a little bit of, it was like in the 90s, which is like this insider's politic thing. It was taken, acquired-ish by Kevin Spacey and updated to American politics, and it is Kevin Spacey's new
Kevin
series.
Spacey presents.
That's right. And he plays a powerful congressman. And it's very good, and the big deal is as opposed to selling it to network television or whatever, Netflix walked over to Kevin Spacey. They opened up their wallet and they said, how much cash do you want for this? It is one of the first times, I want to say, or actually at least the first major time that Netflix has opened up its wallet and wholeheartedly bought their own series, which is House of Cards. Amazon is also doing that. It's essentially the online folks like Amazon, Netflix, I think Apple is talking about doing it as well, about buying shows, buying content. And what did Netflix do? Did they live stream it? No.
No.
Did they release one episode?
No. Yes. No.
They released the whole season. There you go. 13 episodes. Have a nice day. But they just,
wham, bam,
they,
thank
just
you, ma'am.
They just they said they opened up their wallet. They said, Kevin, thank you. Oh, House of Cards, poop, boom. There's your House of Cards. Have a nice day, season one. So you can go up there and watch the whole season one, or you can watch it weekly, or you can watch it any way you want. I would wager that most people probably watch it in the course of a couple days.
Yeah, that sounds like something, I don't know.
I think that's the Netflix behavior. Yours truly.
I have observed this particular the Netflix behavior, which is to like go, oh my god, it's a TV show.
Exactly.
And then you just kind of keep watching. I wouldn't know, as I don't have Netflix. Should I have Netflix?
It's like
What are these moving pictures that you tell me about? $8 a pop. Right, but I...
What, $8 a month for no DVDs and all that stuff.
But then what would I watch?
You would watch House of Cards with Kevin Spacey.
Would I?
Yeah. And all kinds of awesome documentaries.
I actually have things to do.
Yeah, well...
I have to get ready for my art show.
You can watch things while...
This is true. I can watch shows while
if you're one
I'm
of those
practicing.
Kind of people.
Well, so I actually have to.
You can listen to music, read a book, and watch Netflix all at the same time. I cannot.
No. Substitute a drum practice because I have to do the stupid.
Now that you
rudiments.
Can do. Now that you can do. That's the okay, Robin.
That's the point,
Robin.
Yes,
I have it. That's perfect. You need to practice.
I do.
You have a practice pad. You have sticks. You have a book. You know how you practice those rudiments. Watching House of Cards, Netflix, practicing rudiments. As a drummer myself, growing up as a drummer, that's not how I practiced. But I know a lot of people that's the best practicing to do.
That's it's what like, my instructor told me
yeah,
to do.
Yeah, it's like if you're practicing rudiments, there's the rudiment. Play, and you can watch something else. You know, you might not want to listen to music because, you know, that's messing with your head as you're practicing rudiments.
I tried doing The Daily Show while I was doing rudiments, and I would actually fall off the...
Someday we should do rudiments together.
Ooh,
on the show.
That would be the most boring and work-done show ever.
I'll bring in the synth kit, and we'll set up the snares. And
oh,
we'll
my
just,
God,
we'll
that would be so great.
Double feather. Double rough.
I mean,
no, what is that?
So I can do like triplets okay.
Triplets. Oh,
yeah.
Sextuplets. Yeah. 5-stroke roll. 7-stroke roll.
Yeah, I can do the 6-stroke roll okay.
13-stroke roll.
There's a 13-stroke?
Hell yeah.
No way.
It's one of the 26 standard of the 13 American rudiments.
Oh,
and then,
are there British rudiments?
What
are the other rudiments?
No, there was the... I don't know. My sheet. I've got the sheet. I should bring in my original sheet. The paper.
I want to see.
It's beautiful. Like printed in 1926 or something. And it's like the 13 standard and then the 26 extended American rudiments.
Wow.
And then you get your little drum corps hat and you go off and be a professional drum corps major.
American drum corps.
There are British rudiments.
I'm sure there are, but they seem boring.
Swiss rudiments.
Oh, I consider the clave rhythm as one of my rudiments.
See, now that gets into a whole different shit world of stuff that we don't talk about with the rudiments. No, that clave is awesome.
Right, but that's like one of those things that I actually have to know cold.
Someday, when we book guests, we may be able to book a local jazz drummer who is like the master of the clave, Reinhard Meltz, who plays with Damian Erskine and John Nastos and all these guys. I see down at Jimmy Max from time to time. He's an amazing drummer. Some of his recordings and he is like the clave dude. His stepdad taught him all the clave. Yeah, these guys are awesome. So we can get back into that. All these things we can do because it's Portland. Because we just talk about what we can do. We don't actually do it.
We just mention these things casually.
Yeah, we're not gonna book them on the show.
Yeah.
Screw that. Yeah. It's Portland.
I'll just play my rudiment.
DJ Highway 7 and the Ghost Train aren't coming up at 6 tonight.
No. We're just, you know, that's just a cardboard cutout.
Exactly.
It doesn't even look like it. Oh, totally.
He's on his
like
new smartphone.
Oh, whoa, he's got a...
DJ Highway 7 has a smartphone.
Whoa.
Oh, no. No joke. Hell has frozen over. Those missiles are coming from North Korea. Armageddon has happened. Oh, is that four horsemen? Oh my god,
I think I saw a locust.
But he's eating the baconettes and drinking the oli. So
it's cool.
The balance
chicharrones.
The balance has been restored in the force. Anyway, let's spare these people some eardrums here or whatever that means. And let's I don't know. Let's play him some music and open up the Moscato and close this thing out.
Close this puppet out.
Yep. Nice. I'm loving your tunes, lady. I really, really, really do. Is that just wrong calling you lady?
Well, I am a lady.
We can go back to the feminism discussion. All right. didn't.
Sup, that was Bikini Kill with Alien She.
I love one-minute songs.
Right. Well, that was MDC, No Place to Piss, because I love MDC.
Oh, sorry.
Then we got The Briefs, Poor and Weird, Bikini Kill, Alien She, and Los Ultrasonicas with Freak de la Sociedad.
You sure you don't want to DJ Highway 7's here, and are you sure you don't want a shot of White Zinfandel with that Oli? No,
he is very, yeah, he is very disgusted.
That would be awesome, like a
sweet Oli.
1970s chain smoking mom's Boilermaker. It's like a glass a mug full of Oli with a shot of White Zinfandel right in the middle. Ooh, I'm thinking the House of Sound get together.
It needs to have a splash of vermouth.
All right, so what's our last wine?
Our last wine for the evening is the Gallo Family Moscato.
From?
Argentina.
Argentina?
Argentina. I will continue to speak Spanish because that is as much Spanish as I know. Because
it's sexy.
Sexy. Es muy, muy sexy.
It's very sexy.
Actually, in Spanish, they also say sexy.
My name is Bond, James Bond.
My name is Juan. James Juan.
This is what happens when we drink tiny wines.
I don't know what he would be called, like Juan Bond.
That would be hell. Oh, my God.
Juan Bond. I will be DJ Juan Bond.
You know there's a Hispanic porn somewhere called I Am Juan Bond.
Well, actually, I don't know what the Spanish James is.
And this is my penis. I don't know what that.
No, that was just weird because, like, I don't even know the word for penis, which is really sad. That shows how much into Spanish I know. I don't know all the right Spanish.
Seriously.
I know.
Schwanz. In German, just if you want to know, it's called Schwanz.
I also thought it was a gherkin.
Gherkin would be a pickle.
Yes, so but it's also be, a yeah. reference to.
But Schwanz is, I believe,
Schwanz is very direct. Gherkin is.
I think Schwanz. Well, look, you could watch any Mel Brooks movie and know that Schwanz is the name.
Oh, I meant Germans live in Germany say gherkin.
No. Schwanz is a German slang for it's a Schwanz. I believe the origin is a tiny little pig's tail.
Oh, that's so cute.
Speaking of pigs, you can see plenty of tiny little pig's tails floating down is it Shanghai River or wherever the hell?
Ugh.
Thousands and thousands of them. Okay, so Moscato, did you already drink this?
I did. I've been drinking it.
Oh, God, now this stinks. This smells like...
It's like sweet cat pee. It's delicious.
It smells like Mountain Dew.
Dew the Moscato Dew, baby. Actually, this would make a really great summer wine.
Oh, my God. This is terrible.
It's terrible.
This is... Oh, this is
I must use my Texas here, but it's terrible.
Okay, so all you out there... If you want to graduate up from the Bartles and James or graduate down from the Bartles and James, I highly recommend Gallo Family Moscato in the tiny wine section.
Which is funny because the Moscato at my old local place, I used to go to Magoo's a lot, and Moscato's. Dude, I love Magoo's. It has the worst pool table in town.
I'm going
to
steal that damn Oli over there just to get the taste out of my mouth. Jeez. Oh, this is awful.
Yes.
Seriously, it tastes like
it tastes
really
like
weak,
sweet cat pee.
No, it tastes like weak Mountain Dew, which tastes like cat pee.
You know, actually, now if this glows in the dark, we'll know that it's like Mountain Dew.
Terrible. All right, so what else do we got? We got phone books or Rushkoff?
Rushkoff.
You want to talk Rushkoff? All right.
Well, I don't know that much about him, to be
Where's
honest.
The book? Really? You of all people?
Why me?
So, in addition to Eddie Izzard...
What is it about me that I should know about Rushkoff?
Because he's your kind of people.
He's my people? What mm-hmm. what does he do? Does he play with, like...
He's a NYC...
Will he give me, like, snacks if I ask him?
NYC, probably. He's an NYC professor. He,
I hate professors.
Well, I don't think he does that anymore.
See how I smoothed that over? Now
I'm pretty anti-school.
Forget about it. I don't know. That British guy just turned into a New Yorker.
Yeah, that was weird. I like New York, though.
I love New York. That's the first thing you do. You walk around and go...
If you like saxophones.
Oh, actually, so wait, DJ Highway 7 just made a reference that my favorite Foy rig would totally understand. NYC is great if you like saxophones, and I don't have that song, but Foy rig actually knows it by heart and likes to sing it whenever he talks about New York.
There you go. Nah, New York is good.
Oh, dang. I just missed a cue.
Yeah, well, that's okay. We're missing all our cues today.
We have some cues.
So where'd I? Okay, so the book is over here. So he's written all these books about the internet. I don't think he's the biggest fan of Facebook and all that sort of thing. I mean, one of his big things, his last book, and I can't remember the title, from a couple of years ago when he did a keynote that I was involved with. It was about coding, about making sure everyone learns to code, and that's a good thing. But his new book is called Present Shock: When Everything Happens Now.
Oh, right.
No, not now.
Now?
Now.
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 No, now.
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 No, now.
No, later.
Now.
Now and later.
Now. Everything happens.
Mike and Ike.
Now. Oh. And it's all about like kind of the Twitter stream and the Facebook stream and the news. It's like his whole point, and he gives this talk, and I actually already posted the talk on my YouTube channel from Web Visions New York, which is why I was there. He talks about how before kind of the millennia, there was future shock, and there was future this, and
by
this
Alvin
is
Toff.
That's
Toffler.
Right. That's right. And this is what we're gonna, what we're looking forward to. And the .com boom was all about, oh, if pets.com, because someday everyone will go to pets.com and get their pet stuff. You know, everything will happen, right? Looking forward, today in 2013, everything happens now. We're not thinking ahead enough.
You can't
enough.
Blame the millennials for that, though, because kids are really...
He's not blaming anyone.
I'm just saying it's always like between the ages of 20 and 40, and they just get like, they're just like, oh, I'm going to do this thing. Look, it's a demo. Oh, hey, let me give you some money. And then like younger kids who are like, oh, hey, it's not pretty, it's pretty cool.
But he very definitely does not blame. I mean, he's not that kind of person to like blame the younger generation. He's more kind of pointing out the changes that are happening with us. And so, so we're having this discussion like 4 minutes to the end of our program. We might need to pick this up again. I could probably give some sound bites and all that, but it's a very interesting, book, very interesting talk. And, maybe we'll do a part two.
Part two
about that. His presentation was kind of cool because he had an analog clock and a digital clock.
Oh, man.
And he talked about the differences when growing up with that, you know, you're looking forward, you're looking at half past, you're doing that. But the digital clock happens now. And just to match it up, some friends of ours from Portland called Little Bird are doing something called Hey Big Fish at South by Southwest right now, interactive. And that's all about the now, what's happening now, what's trending now. And so that's kind of interesting, too. So, Robin, do you need a phone book?
I don't need a phone book ever in my life anymore, except for when the power goes out.
Please explain to me why I got 3 phone books this week at my doorstep. I have Google. I have the internet. I don't even have a landline phone. I have a cell phone. But I got the Super Pages Portland and Vancouver metropolitan area. I got the Portland Metro Vikings AM860. Well, you know, if you're reading the phone book, you're probably listening to AM860. No offense to Pamplin Media. And the Dex, which is really lightweight. Really light.
Aw. I still read the gay and lesbian yellow pages.
Isn't that online?
It's also in book.
Do you like it in book form?
I kind of do.
You know what the soundbite we really missed here?
Which one?
Was Steve Martin and the Jerk going, the new phone books are here! The new phone books are here! Which, by the way...
Yes.
He did a big cameo on SNL this week with Justin Timberlake. Probably the biggest numbers of SNL this...
Hey, you know, Justin Timberlake's a really good performer of all things.
You know what? I'm not that into his music. I do like his comedy. He did an amazing
I saw one
impression of go up and find him doing Elton John singing Candle in the Wind for Cesar Chavez. It was hilarious.
Okay.
When he gets to the point like, you brought two pistols to a podium once. You know, I mean, he just goes off on all this stuff. It was very funny. So you're looking at the time. We're looking at the time. Oh, we got a new time analog clock. Not a present shock clock.
So this has been Robin Police.
Analog clock.
I'm saying we gotta go, baby.
We do have to go. I'm surprised they're not getting ready to spin. Have a great week, everybody.